So for today's discussion, we want to talk about the proofs that we can say confirm the authenticity and divinity of the Holy Quran. This is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not man. Okay, what are your proofs for that, Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that we have plenty of reasons and arguments that Noble Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually it is a glorious Noble Quran, divine revelation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the hearts of Noble Prophet Muhammad. Each and every sentences and, you know, even letters of Noble Quran are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and divine. There is no alteration occurred in the verses of Noble Quran, no omission and no addition in the verses of Noble Quran. And of course, we have plenty of reasons for that. But I ask my dear listeners to go directly to the Noble Quran and have a look at it.
Yes.
I think by studying and reciting the verses of Noble Quran, everybody can easily understand that these words cannot be man-made. Mm-hmm. Please, in the beginning, have a comparison between the verses of Noble Quran and many other novels, I don't know, man-made, writings and books. Have a little comparison between these two, books, easily you come to this conclusion that these divine verses of Noble Quran are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are divine, not man-made.
That's right.
In the verses of Noble Quran, for example, we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that وَلَوْ كَانَ مَنْ عِنْدَ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it was not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could not find a lot of discrepancy in the verses of Noble Quran.
Yes.
And you know that it is one of the proofs that verses of Noble Quran are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are divine.
Right.
You know that if you go to the man-made writing, you could find a lot of discrepancies, a lot of differences, you know. And of course, it is natural for human being to have these kind of flaws and deficiencies.
Yes.
But if you go to the verses of Noble Quran, you cannot find even single discrepancy and differences between verses of Noble Quran.
That's right.
You know that many verses of Noble Quran talking about the, different, about variety of issues.
Mm-hmm.
About this world, about hereafter. Inshallah, gradually I will go to this issue and I will touch upon this issue. But you cannot find single discrepancy in the verses of Noble Quran.
Right.
We have many examples that have been mentioned about the verses of Noble Quran, but I want to say that generally speaking, if you go deep into the verses of Noble Quran and have a look at these verses of Noble Quran profoundly, you could not find single discrepancy within it.
And so many harmonies are found in the Holy Quran, even among the numbers. For example, two important terms, men and women, rajul and emra, are equal in the Holy Quran. Each of them are repeated 24 times, okay?
Yes.
Sometimes you could find this balance and these miracles of the Holy Quran, even in the letters and the surah numbers and this and that topic, are really fascinating.
Yes, exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
I think the main reason that some people believe that Quran was man-made is because we do not have clear understanding about the mechanism of the concept of wahy. Or revelation, okay?
Yes.
So if we want to prove that Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Vahy, how we can answer such questions?
You know that first of all, because it is one of the a question regarded to be considered to be from the Quranic studies.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
There is a branch of science or studies which we call it Quranic studies, and many scholars they have talked about this issue.
Yes,
one of the best reasoning for that is the meaning of tawatur of the verse of Noble Quran, which means the frequently narrated verses of Noble Quran. You see that Muslim generation by generations, they narrated the verses of Noble Quran and they transfer it to different generation, beginning from the time of Noble Prophet Muhammad to the, you know, that this contemporary era.
Yes.
And Muslims, all of them, they have a great regard for safeguarding the verses of Noble Quran.
That's right.
If you go to the history, you can find a lot of evidences for that.
Yes.
And of course, it has been narrated frequently by different generations from the time of the Noble Prophet to this contemporary era.
That's
and
right.
It is one of the best maybe arguments for that these verses of Noble Quran actually are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
Muslims, they were ascribing verses of Noble Quran, writing down the verses,
yes.
You know, on different pieces of the, whatever was existed in that time.
Mm.
Some of them, they were from among the Qurra and Hamalatul Quran, Huffadul Quran. They were reciting the reciters of the verses of Noble Quran. They memorized, many of them memorized the verses of Noble Quran. And as I said, that they were a special group. They were writing down the verses of Noble Quran. So I want to say that, generally speaking, it was a great emphasis.
That's right.
And actually, it was a kind of culture among Muslim generation by generation to safeguard the verses of Noble Quran and keep it and transfer it to the next generation.
That's right.
Till the contemporary era. So by this huge, emphasis of all Muslims to safeguard the verses of Noble Quran, we can easily, come to this understanding that these verses are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the heart of Noble Prophet Muhammad.
That's all right. And this is not, as you mentioned, the Quranic studies, but also the other monotheistic religions have proven the historical facts that are about their religion in the Holy Quran. That's why, for example, when we can say that's all right. The ambassador of Prophet Muhammad to Abyssinia, to Habasha, was sent, Ja'far, I think, isn't it? Was sent over there, and the king over there was a Christian. He first asked about Prophet Jesus Christ and Lady Maryam in the Holy Quran. And when the ayahs were read out to that man, to the king of that era, he permitted them to stay over there. And the kuffar and the policies of the Mecca were not successful in jailing them. This shows that also the other religions have proved some of the historical facts and the verses of the and the ayahs of the Holy Quran, which are available in the Holy Quran. And this is not only limited to the Muslim scholars, for example.
Exactly. And more than that, let me add to your nice statement that in history of the verses of Noble Quran, you find that sometimes maybe some Muslim, they want to omit one waw from the verses of Noble Quran. I do not want to go to that history. But you know that it was a huge turmoil among Muslim, and they did not permit that individual to omit the even waw, single letter, from the verses of Noble Quran.
That's right.
Because, as I said, there was a great emphasis among Muslims to safeguard the verse of Noble Quran and transfer it to the next generation.
Yes.
And, of course, we have many other evidences for this issue.
That's right. Sometimes the Holy Quran also gives us some, facts. Even nowadays, the scientists are very much interested in the field of science and the Quran. So they are seeing that, are the verses of the Holy Quran proving the scientific facts or not? And there have been so many interesting clips, if you Google
exactly. it. Exactly, yeah,
right. It is science and the Quran, and maybe more than 100 cases are available in the Quran the scientific fact. On that time, there was not science like today. There was not laboratories like today, okay? So, but the Holy Quran was true about it. It shows that the source of the Holy Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Nice okay? point you have mentioned, you know, that the idea of the relationship between Noble Quran mm-hmm. and science
yes.
is one of the interesting issues that, yes. you know, many scholars, they are following up nowadays.
Yes.
And of course, you mentioned a lot of clips and a lot of books
yes.
have been written in this regard. And of course, scientific miracles of the Noble Quran is actually one of the aspects of the Quran to be miracle from
That's
Allah
right.
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
You know, and of course, beside that, we have many evidences that why Noble Quran is miracle. For example, you can go to the, you know, let's say teachings of the Noble Quran, talking about the beginning of the creation, Genesis, and of course the destination of human being, you know, and we can talk about the ethical miracle of the
yes.
Noble Quran. It actually, we can give you a lots of examples in that regard.
That's
and
right.
then many other aspects of the verse of the Noble Quran to be miracle.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding some of the proofs which prove the authenticity and the divinity of the Holy Quran. It was very kind of you.
My
thank
pleasure.
You very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information and to download for free our previous episodes, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. في أمان الله.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity,
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We were speaking about greed, hirs, and we said it's one of the causes that destroys humanity, that breaks down society, that destroys relationships, that destroys every basic value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants human beings to have. Greed is a moral sin, a vice. And we spoke about that in a number of episodes. So, as an individual, as a person, how do I ensure myself that I don't fall into greed and I do not corrupt society and I don't take the rights of other people, be it close, near to me, or far away from me? How do I ensure that? Now, Islamically speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Quran and through the words of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they gave us a number of things that we need to keep in mind in terms of greed, that we need to adhere to and think of constantly to keep ourselves safe from this action, this act, which is greed. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me and you is to think, to contemplate, to think of this dunya correctly, to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, and to think of the afterlife correctly. Now, people, those who are greedy, those who take the rights of other people, obviously, akhirah, their afterlife, or, you know, thinking of dying and facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a concept that is never present in their minds. Because me and you, if I want to take something from you, if I want to harm you in a way or another through greed, if I had the slightest belief that I will stand in the face of Allah and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the court of the Day of Judgment, and be questioned for my actions, and I would not dare to come anywhere near you or your rights. Because this is just logical. Because if you know you're going to get, you know, if you're going to get caught and taken to the police and going to court and being punished, if you have certainty in that, then you wouldn't do it. So those who do indulge themselves in this, they get stuck. They forget about Allah. They forget about the day of Akhirah, the hereafter. So the first thing we need to do is to contemplate and see things for what they are. See the reality of things. See the reality of this world. It's a world where it is never lasting. It ends. No matter how long I and you want to live, we won't be able to live more than, you know, 150 maximum. If you're an exception like the Prophet Nuh, he might live 1,000 plus. But then, even though, he will still die. Nuh lived 1,000 plus, he still died. And then what? Then comes the trouble. Then comes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost, we have to correct the way we think. Allah says in the Quran, اعلموا, be aware, know for a fact, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعَبٌ وَلَهُ وَزِينَ, that this world that you have is just a world of vain play, entertainment. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ, and, you know, trying to boast between yourselves. And then Allah says, he continues and he says, He gives example of a garden that is flourishes and people, oh, mashallah, it's a beautiful garden, and then becomes yellow and then dies out. This is the world that we live in. It will finish us. So what do I and you have to do in this regard? Think it clearly. Use our logic. Use our intellect and not to fall in the trap of greed. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we said in order for us to make sure that we don't fall in the trap of greed and oppress others and take the rights of others, first we have to begin with our thoughts and our minds and the way we think and the way we see things. That this world is short-lived and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me. Look at the kings before. Look at the Fir'aun. Look at Qarun. Look at all those people who were powerful, who had wealth, who had everything. But then, now where are they? They're being punished. Chastisement. So we don't want to do that. The second thing that the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wassalam, they tell us in order for us to treat this disease of greed and hirs is, in fact, to remember death. To remember death. And death also is one of these concepts that we can't, you know, seem to remember. We keep forgetting that we will die. We think that we will live forever. Even now in this modern world and because of the media, that death, it became just a normal thing now. People used to be very scared of death. They used to constantly contemplate about death. Now no one cares because we see death on a daily basis on the news as if something normal. So we don't really care. But the reality is, death is something that if we think of correctly, then we should be able to hit the brakes and think twice. For example, in the wasiyyah, the trust or the promise or the whatever you want to call it that the imam gave to his sons before he died, he says, "You have to remember death. فَذْكُرَ الْمَوْتَ وَوَحْدَتَكَ فِي الْقَبْرِ." Remember death and your loneliness in the grave. No one's going to come with you. You will go alone. وَيْسِيلَانَ عَيْنَيْكَ عَلَىٰ خَدِّيكَ. And your eyes will melt on your cheeks. وَتَقَطَّعُ أَوْصَالُكَ. And your body limbs will slowly fall apart. They will get decomposed. وَأَكْلُ الدُّودِ مِنْ لَحْمِكَ. And the worms and this, you know, insects will start to eat your flesh. And then وَإِنْقَطَعَكَ عَنَ الدُّنْيَا. And then you will be suffered and cut the relationship and the connection that you have with this dunya. فَإِنَّ ذَلَكَ يَحَثُّكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ. If you really think of it in this way, then that should make you work and do good deeds, not the opposite, not greed. وَيَرْدَعَكَ عَنْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْحِرْسِ. And will prevent you from many of greeds. And this is what matters to us here. The more you remember death and remember what will happen during the process of death and the grave, it should prevent a person from indulging in these things, and especially in greed. Those people who are indulging themselves in greed and taking the rights of other people is because they never gave death a second thought. They constantly thought they will live forever, and death applies to people but does not apply to them, and that is really bad. If we think it like this, then surely we will lose. We will lose in this world. And we will lose in the hereafter. So correcting our thinking is the first process. And the second process that we have to keep in mind as well is death and more death and more death. Because that, with that kind of thinking, then I and you should walk straight. Because if we remember that we will die and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be questioned for our actions, then that should definitely prevent me and you from indulging in the vice of greed and hers. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
In the limelight.
The increase in the cost of energy and foodstuffs once again caused the inflation of the Eurozone to take an upward slope. Economic analysts say inflation in this bloc is unfavorably high. They pointed out that one of the reasons is the conflict in Ukraine, which has created shortages and uncertainty and has increased the prices of energy and foodstuffs very severely. Also, the economists warn that these conditions have strengthened the likelihood of a recession in the Eurozone. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of CNBC reports Eurozone inflation rose above 10% level in the month of October, highlighting the severity of the cost of living crisis in the region and adding more pressure on the European Central Bank. Preliminary data on Monday, October 31st, from Europe's Statistics Office showed headline inflation came in at an annual 10.7% last month. This represents the highest ever monthly reading since the Eurozone's formation. The 19-member bloc has faced higher prices, particularly on energy and food, for the past 12 months, but the increases have been accentuated by Russian special operation in Ukraine in late February. This proved to be the case once again, with energy costs expected to have had the highest annual rise in October at 41.9% from 40.7% in September. Food and tobacco prices also rose in the same period, jumping 13.1% from 11.8% in the previous month. Solomon Friedler, an economist at Bremberg, said the continuing surge in consumer prices and a still resilient domestic demand in the summer indicate a risk that the European Central Bank may hike rates by 75 basis points in December rather than the 50 basic points we currently expect. Monday's data comes after individual countries reported flash estimates recently. In Italy, headline inflation came in above analyst expectations at 12.8% year-on-year. Germany also said inflation jumped to 11.6%, and in France, the number reached 7.1%. Also, there are Euro nations where inflation rose by more than 20%. This includes Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. The European Central Bank, whose primary target is to control inflation, on Thursday, October 27th, confirmed further rate hikes in the coming months in an attempt to bring prices down. It said in a statement that it had made substantial progress in normalizing rates in the region, but it expects to raise interest rates further to ensure the timely return of inflation to its 2% midterm inflation target. The ECB decided to raise rates by 75 basis points for a second consecutive time last week. The Russia Today Daily writes data from the National Institute of Statistics and Economic Research showed consumer price inflation in France accelerated to new highs in October. According to preliminary estimates, year-on-year price growth in the country hit 6.2%, exceeding July's high of 6.2%. 6.1%. The rate had previously slowed in August and September after hitting the highest level since 1985 in July. The agency noted that the more rapid inflation was prompted largely by the rising cost of fuel, food and raw materials, as well as increasing production costs. Energy prices showed the sharpest growth of almost 20% despite government interventions. Food costs grew by 12%. INSEE predicts a further spike in prices in December, with inflation forecast to hit 6.6%. The agency is due to publish its final October inflation reading in mid-November. The Anadolu Agency reports, according to a survey released on Saturday, October 29th, sharply increasing prices in almost all areas of life are at the top of people's concerns in Germany. According to the survey published by the management consultancy McKinsey, even the conflict in Ukraine, climate change, and the coronavirus were not as worrying as the rising cost of living. Around 57% of the more than 1,000 respondents said that their biggest concern at the moment was inflation, some 9 percentage points more than in a previous survey in June. More than two-thirds of the respondents in the poll conducted between September 23rd and October 2nd said they expected prices to continue rising. By comparison, only 18% of respondents named the Ukraine operation as their biggest concern, 6% climate change, and 3% the COVID-19 pandemic. Xinhua News Agency writes, according to provisional data released by the National Statistics Institute, is that on Friday, October 28, prices in Italy jumped by 11.9% in October compared to the same month a year ago, the highest in nearly four decades. The figure was 3 percentage points above the then record 8.9% of annual inflation in September, and it was the highest since 1983 in Italy. It was also the first time that the country's inflation experienced double digits since Italy's adoption of the euro currency in 1999. The main driver behind the price increase was the rising energy costs sparked by the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. But even the core inflation rate, which excludes energy and food costs given their susceptibility to international market forces, rose by 5.3% in October. Costs for services less susceptible to energy-related factors were still higher in October, up 3.7% compared to a year earlier. Moreover, Anadolu News Agency says, according to a flash estimate from the country's statistical office on Friday, October 28, Portugal's annual inflation surged to 10.2% in October, the highest level since May 1992. The figure marked a further rise from the 30-year high of 9.3% hit in September. Statistics Portugal said prices of energy products soared 27.6% year-on-year in October, while food costs jumped 18.9%, the highest since June 1990. The annual core inflation rate, which excludes energy and unprocessed food products, was 7.1% in October, up from 6.9% in September, the highest since January 1994. On a monthly basis, consumer prices ticked up 1.3% in October, following a 1.2% rise in September. Speaking at a recent press conference, European Central Bank ECB President Christine Lagarde said the likelihood of a recession in the Eurozone had intensified. Growth figures released on Monday, October 31st, showed a GDP, gross domestic product, figure of 0.2% for the euro area in October. This is after the region grew at a rate of 0.8% in the second quarter. Only Belgium, Latvia, and Austria registered GDP rates below zero so far. The 19-member bloc has dodged a recession, but an economic slowdown is evident. Several economists predict there will be a contraction in the GDP during the current quarter.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, love and worship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Man possesses another inborn desire, which is not of the same form as the demand to know, to have ability or to be aware of and to conquer the world. The desire to attract, to be attracted and to unite is related to existence and understanding. As this desire has not become clear for the psychologist and psychoanalysis, and a sufficient discussion and research has not been made with regard to it. It is difficult to clarify and explain it because of that. Now, deep inside, each person finds that he or she likes something and someone, as though the latter constantly draws his spirit toward itself or himself. It's like a powerful magnet, the feeling of attracting someone or being attracted to someone. This attraction and drive has various degrees and signs. Differences of degrees are so much that they create doubts in their substantial unity. The most salient manifestation of innate affection can be raised in a mother. Its sign is that a mother enjoys caressing and taking care of her child. Motherly affection is one of the most glorious manifestations of innate love. Its manifestations have always been described and have been praised by the poets and writers. The same holds true for father's love towards his child or towards his children. Love and worship is something that is inborn, found inside the very being of a human being. They always have it, the feeling of being attracted and the feeling of attracting someone. The need to attract someone is something that builds within us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. We are talking about love and worship. When you're talking about love, you're talking about a pool, an energy that exists in every human being. And it's an energy that can be explained like it's the desire to pull, the desire to attract someone, and also the desire to be attracted. A similar form of affection does exist among the children. The desire to be attracted, the desire to attract, exists among the children. It also exists within the parents, the sisters, the brothers that we live with, and, you know, any other family member around, who are tied together with a specific natural bond, the blood bond. Another manifestation of this can be viewed among fellow creatures that are linked by the general relationship of human beings. This affection is increased in intensity in other forms of human relationship, such as being fellow city people, you know, being neighbors, someone who lives in the same city that you're living in, definitely has more affection to you than the one who is not living in the city. You could be knowing someone, but he's not from your city, or maybe he's not your neighbor. It's not someone you know. It's not someone you're connected to physically or geographically or anyhow. But having someone who lives with you in the same city, who is your neighbor, being of the same age, being man and wife, being of the same religion and of the same ideology, all this can be added to it, definitely builds an affection that exists between these two particular sides, these two particular parties. Another expression of affection is in man's attachment to objects, which he uses in his material life, and to which he is linked by the way they can fulfill his living requirements. Examples are attachment to property, like wealth, like clothes, cars, you know, anything that this particular person can use to fulfill his living requirement. All this builds and brings about love and affection towards something. So you can have an affection towards someone or an affection towards something, depending on how you need it to help you in your life.
What about you? IRIB English Radio. To our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghodde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Faith Through Action. Sunday, the 5th of Ramadan, 1394, the 22nd of September, 1974. I've tried to sum this up in the title I gave to this lecture, Life-Giving Faith. A faith which works like an overflowing spring, a faith that is accompanied by duty, a faith that is a weight on the shoulders of the believer, a faith that is accompanied by action. When we read the Quran, we notice the phrase, those who have faith and do righteous deeds, repeatedly associates faith with good works. Faith alone, faith without duty, faith without any sense of responsibility, is of no use in this world and of no use in the hereafter. This is the Quran's logic. Our reading tomorrow will be on roughly the same topic, and the verses we will ponder on tomorrow, God willing, will illuminate this further so that there will be no doubt. Those who think that faith is something that resides only in the human heart believe that even if a person pays no attention to the duties this faith imposes on him or the demands it makes of him, they are still a believer. They imagine that one can be a believer through belief alone, without action, without effort, without struggle. They make the promises Allah has given to the faithful promises to almost everyone. They suppose that paradise is granted because of something in the heart, without any action to back it up, and that dominion over the earth is granted because of something in the heart rather than action.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In short, they imagine that if we put action to one side, something of faith still remains. But the people who believe this must read the verses and the tens of others which are found throughout the Quran, which make it clear that the faith that Islam values is a faith accompanied by action, by responsibility, and by duty. If you feel no sense of moral responsibility, then you should doubt whether you are in fact a believer. A society which does not act on the duties of faith cannot call itself a believing society. Those who hear the Quran's words, do not weaken or grieve, you shall have the upper hand should you be faithful. Those who hear this amazing reassurance from the Quran only to see that when they look at reality, those who believe in the Quran are no better than anyone else. In fact, they see that they are dependent on everyone else. They are going to wonder what happened to the Quran's promise. And if they do not find any time when this promise was fulfilled, they are going to await the appearance of the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu farajah.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
A new report by the Afghan Journalistic Center shows that at least 127 journalists and media workers lost their lives during the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. Investigations also show that in more than 90% of those cases, the ones responsible for the deaths were not brought to justice. The Association of Afghan Reporters is demanding the International Criminal Court to take a look into the killings. People are also asking the Taliban to stay true to what it has promised and show support towards Afghan journalists. That includes ending impunity for crimes against this group of workers who are constantly under danger in a war-torn country.
The U.S. started the war on Afghanistan and caused devastation and casualties. It should be held accountable for the death of all civilians, especially journalists, in the past 20 years. The International Criminal Court should investigate the killing cases of Afghan journalists and recognize them as international crimes. The families of slain journalists should be paid compensation. Unfortunately, so far, not a single case has been inspected.
This comes as those 127 martyred journalists have been two honest and dedicated staff, Said Farhad Takaddusi and Habibullah Hussainzada, who lost their lives on duty in 2011 and 2017. The relatives and colleagues of the two continue to honor their memory.
Two of our colleagues at Press TV were among the victims of U.S. war on Afghanistan. Syed Farhad in 2011 and Habibullah was martyred in 2017, both on duty and in war incidents. They were so close to me and meant a lot for Press TV and the medium community in Afghanistan. Their loss should not be forgotten or ignored. We demand justice and compensation for their families.
The commemoration of martyrs comes as the Afghanistan situation is still tense for journalists. Rights bodies are calling for support and protection by the ruling Taliban and the international community. Due to war and insecurity, Afghanistan has been one of the most dangerous countries for reporters. And there have been journalists like Press TV's martyrs who gave their lives in the line of duty. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Rating agency Moody's has recently changed its ratings outlook on Italy's banking system from stable to negative. Business conditions for Italy's banks are expected to further worsen in the coming 12 to 18 months, especially with regard to the quality of their loans and earnings. The news broke at the heels of a series of downgrades in medium-term growth forecasts by the Bank of Italy, the National Bureau of Statistics, ISTAT, Employers Association Confindustria and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
We will hold a highly important cabinet meeting on Friday, during which we will discuss new budgetary targets as the government is racing against time to draft the 2023 budget law.
Italy's statistical agency ISTAT has predicted that the Italian economy will be flat in 2023 after growth of around 3 to 3.5% this year. Moody's forecast was even more cautious, predicting 2.7% growth for this year as a whole and zero growth next year.
The challenges for Italy go well beyond economic growth. Prices have reached record highs lately, with the country's annual inflation rate hitting almost 12% in October and energy costs still out of control. In addition to that, the euro's weakness with respect to the American dollar has significantly eroded the purchasing power of the Italians.
Milk, bread, pasta, all these basic items cost much more now. I'm very worried.
When you go grocery shopping, but also when you buy fuel or are faced with paying exorbitant energy bills, everything seems to be out of control. That said, I am pretty sure that they are not telling us the truth about what's really going on.
On Thursday, Italy's new far-right Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni travelled to Brussels to meet with the leaders of European Union institutions for the first time. In the Belgian capital, Meloni held two meetings with the President of the European Parliament, Roberta Metsola, and EU Commissioner for Economy, Paolo Gentiloni, in which her main ask was reportedly greater joint EU efforts to cope with energy costs. Max Civili, Rome.
An attack on the convoy of ousted Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan wounded him and several of his supporters who were marching towards Islamabad, demanding early elections. Police said that a gunman opened fire at the campaign truck carrying Imran Khan, wounding him slightly. Since his ouster in a parliamentary no-confidence vote in April, Khan has been alleging that his dismissal was a conspiracy engineered by his successor Shahbaz Sharif and the United States. The PTI leadership has directly blamed Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, Interior Minister Rana Sanaullah, and a high-ranking military official for carrying out the assassination attempt.
We demand that these three men should be removed from their posts. If these people are not removed from their positions, then there will be nationwide protests.
While asking Imran Khan's supporters to stop the blame game, the government has assured every possible support for holding high-profile inquiry into the assassination attempt.
The incident is very unfortunate and condemnable, but it should not be politicized, and speculations on this incident must be avoided.
Political experts believe that the attack on the PTI party chief will trigger further political instability and chaos in the country.
I think in the days to come, the Pakistani political atmosphere will be more charged. It will be more violent. This gun attack on Khan will definitely change Pakistan's political scenario.
The attack on the former Pakistani premier also sparked countrywide protest and international contaminations.
The attack on the former Pakistani prime minister has further fueled the ongoing political tensions. It is highly believed that more confrontations would be witnessed in days to come in the country's political arena. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
The United States has entered its last week before the midterm legislative vote, and tensions are starting to escalate. The Republicans appear certain to win the lower House of Representatives and need to win only one of four now neck-and-neck races to also control the upper Senate. Some Democrats have called the polls Republican propaganda, further undermining confidence in their predictions and creating more uncertainty.
I think it should just be positive. It's very hard to decide what is the truth and what isn't. You get the one candidate, and then the next candidate says everything that the first candidate said is wrong on the commercial. We've started muting them.
Perhaps the most telling poll is one which showed that a whopping 79% of Americans believe that the country is out of control. Many say there's no lack of reasons for such a perception. The specter of a divided and thus ineffective federal government, record inflation, a prolonged drug epidemic, regular mass shootings, a likely double-dip recession, fear-mongering about war with Russia over Ukraine or with China over Taiwan, a cultural war over identity politics, and more.
Perception is reality, right? So, when we see the political attacks that have happened on both sides, it kind of gives that impression. I think the media can feed into that at times as well. I think that's a pretty accurate assessment of where we're at, unfortunately.
The recent in-home attack on the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who holds the number three post in the American system, has become embroiled in salacious controversy. Similar to the Hunter Biden laptop affair in the autumn of 2020, the case is dominating the pre-vote headlines and producing partisan allegations of either misinformation or a cover-up. Since 2017, the number of investigated threats against Washington's lawmakers has tripled. Perhaps the biggest problem in the United States hasn't even occurred yet, the near certainty of disputed election results. Some tight Senate races may require runoff votes, meaning the final outcome will likely be controversial for weeks. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
The UK government has abandoned plans to create a working definition of Islamophobia in a move which has come under heavy fire from critics. Back in May 2019, the then government headed by Theresa May